This is a Defiantly Me production.
Hello, welcome back to the Homework Podcast. I'm Joy Andrews. I used to work in corporate America, and now I'm an acupuncturist, feng shui expert, and astrology expert. And I'm here with my co-host, Charlene. Charlene, tell us who you are.
I love meeting and chatting with you and talking with you. I tell you, my goal is to tell listeners, you know, all of the things that people don't tell you in corporate America. I've been in HR for 3 decades, and I love giving away those secrets that people don't give away. I'm also the owner of Push Play Coaching, where we work with people to be their very best in the workplace and in life in general. How's it been going, Joy?
Good. This week is hot and stormy, so we're trying to make sure our house doesn't blow over or flood with all the hot and stormy weather out here. So that is keeping us on our toes, but otherwise, grateful, healthy this week, feels good.
Good.
How about you?
I'm doing good. I did a little getaway. You know, I'm starting that series, Finding Inspiration Everywhere. So decided to shake things up and get out of my normal environment, right? And get out of my normal area for the weekend. And so we'll talk about a little bit of that in our show today. But I want to kick off our show because, and I'm going to tell you, Joy, where the spark came from. It came from two places, right? The first spark came from, I went to the FedEx to drop off a package. And you know how you go in the FedEx store and you have to always kind of walk to the back and drop it off? So you can see the person standing back there. So as I was walking back, you know, you've taught me about energy and seeing people's energy. The person that I was going to drop the package off, he just looked stoic. He just looked like I was bothering him or like I was going to bother him just to give him a package. And you know me, I'm going to say, hey, how you doing? How's your day been? It's been a normal day.
Yeah. Okay.
Just like that. Like, I said, okay, well, you have a great normal day, right? So I just put that in the back of my head because as I was walking out the store, I said, you know, how many of us are okay with having a normal day? So then this morning I said, okay, what can Joy and I talk about today? And maybe invite producer Mike into the conversation since he's had a life-changing experience recently. So I thought about us talking about routine.
Routine?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
You know, there is value in living with routine in your life, right? So when the FedEx guy said today was a normal day, maybe that was, you know what, he was fine with his routine, right? He was fine with coming to work, taking the packages, not engaging with people, and he was okay because it was a normal day. And so I want us to talk about a routine, and I want to talk about it in the physical perspective and also to the value of it. So even though I shook up my routine this weekend.
Yeah, I love both. I love having routine and I love shaking up routine. And there is so much about routine to talk about physically. I mean, the body loves routine. The body's organs love routine. You think about the heartbeat. If you go to the doctor, you want a regular heartbeat. You want a normal day heartbeat. A heartbeat that does not have extra skipping beats, that is all over the place, that is too fast or too slow. You want a normal day heartbeat. You want a normal day lung. You want a breathing to be, you know, even inspiration and an even expiration. You want your gallbladder to be having a normal day. Gallbladders really love routine. We don't really understand that like eating at regular times during the day, the same time every day is so good for the organs. Also, all the digestive organs, the gallbladder prepares bile to digest our food before we're even going to eat. So if we eat on a routine, let's say we eat every morning, you know, like at 10 a.m., we're trying to do some intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. Let's say we're trying to eat a little bit later in the morning, let's say like 10 a.m. or something. The gallbladder, if you do that every day, the gallbladder starts creating bile earlier than that because the body starts to get into a rhythm of creating the juices to be able to digest our food and send it down through our system. If we start eating at a different time every day, it doesn't have a chance to warm up. So it takes longer to digest food. So it sort of sits like a rock in the gut and it has to work harder to break foods down. Never mind, we swallow food down anyway. We sort of like scarf food when we're standing or sitting in the, you know. And so that makes the stomach and the small intestine have to work harder to digest and break down the food that we give it. So it slows everything down, you know, and the bowels really like a routine. They want a normal day life. Having a regular bowel movement is something that I talk about with all my patients. I talk about more poop, more pee. I talk about more bodily fluids in a day than most people, you know, probably think about. Nothing can scare me. Nothing can gross me out at this point. And so, you know, more people are living with either diarrhea, constipation, or both. And more people are spending more time thinking about that than they would care to admit. Most people's bodies would do better if they had a normal day bowel movement, at least one a day. And at the same time, makes it even easier on the body. So the organs really like routine. So it's easier on the body to really have a routine. And I also tell people, if you can, schedule acupuncture on a routinely basis. So like I tell people who are coming in for period maintenance, let's see if you can come in 5 days before every period. Let's get your period regulated, or once a month at the same time, or once a week at the same time, or once every few months at the same day, because you know your body can start to be, okay, this is my time for me. This is when I'm going to get to slow down, pause, lay on the table, have somebody take care of me for a second. And so I really like that aspect of booking appointments as a routine so the body can have that anchor of safety also. And at the same time, acupuncture is disrupting. It is, the point of it is to increase circulation and improve blood flow to people's organs and their whole body so they can think clearer, breathe clearer, have bowel movements better. But you think about a needle, what it's doing is it is disrupting part of the body. You know, it is like a thorn that is pricking you. It is an actual wake-up call for the body. So in that sense, I really like disruption because it, like you said, it's a shake-up to your routine. It can be a wake-up call.
My gosh, Joy, I'm telling you, this is why I love talking to you. This is why I love our show, because not only do our listeners learn something, I too learn something, right? When you were just talking about the routine, the eating, I have been, you know, I haven't been doing that lately. I've been saying, oh, I'll just eat when I want to eat. You telling me that I need to prepare my gallbladder to function. I'm not preparing it. I'm making my intestines work harder because of the erraticness of my eating, especially on the weekends. It seems like when you're in the office or you're going to work, and most people that are working, they probably in like an office setting since people are being called back to work. But that's for another show. But they're back to eating like, you know, a breakfast, a lunch, maybe a dinner. But people working remotely probably are not in a rhythm or a routine because of the fact that they're, you know, they don't have a coworker saying, hey, you want to go eat? Hey, you want to go walk? Hey, let's get a snack. That's so interesting. Okay. So how it relates to the work too is that rhythmic flow in your day, right? You have a routine of starting with the coffee, you checking your emails, right? Scheduling your meetings. So if that gets upended somehow, let somebody come in and take over your calendar or your to-do list. I've heard a lot about that to-do list. You know, people wanting to scratch things off their to-do list and they can't because their routine or you know, got interrupted. And you really talked about really that in the body sense, that predictability, right? That same time eating. I got to work on that this week. I'm going to try that and see how that goes for me. but you do have that feeling of accomplishment and normalcy when you're, you know, when you have things planned for that day to work on and to complete. I know our producer is producing a lot of podcasts. I know, you know, he has opportunities to get interrupted in his day. Producer Mike, can you talk to us about how your routine recently got upended and disrupted?
The best way to destroy your routine in any situation is to get yourself a 7-week-old puppy. And that's exactly what Lucy, my wife, and I did about 5 weeks ago. So I work from home. Lucy does not work from home. And we got ourselves a puppy. Her name's Birdie. And she has been a routine. Well, she's been our routine killer. And it's forced us to have to adjust a routine for her. Because our last boxer, her name was Freya, she was a type of dog that would lay in the bed till 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekend. So we wouldn't have to get out of bed. Like, we could sleep till 12 or 2, or, and we don't have children. So it's like there was no routine thought, because Freya just, she went with pretty much whatever we did. Birdie is very much not that way. Especially when she's that young. So the last 5 weeks we've been getting up multiple times a night, which is something we're not used to, because Freya was never like that. And so it's kind of like having a child, like a human child. In fact, my other podcast that I work on, it's called Reparenting for the Culture. And the host, her name is Cherise Sims. She has 6 kids. And so I told her we were getting a puppy, and she told me that one of the puppies are harder than babies. So when a woman of 6 children tells you that a puppy is harder than babies, like, it causes you to go,
What did I get myself into?
And then you don't realize it. What did we get ourselves into? Because, you know, me and Lucy, we've had dogs before. Frey was 4 months, not 7 weeks when we got her. And, It's been a learning experience, because Freya was one of one. She was very much not a typical boxer. Typical boxers, high energy, need a lot of, like, highly intelligent. So need a lot of, like, brain games. Freya was not like that. Freya was one of the laziest boxers I had ever met in my life. And she would just curl up on a spot on the couch, and we could sit there and watch TV. And then on top of that, I was home all the time. So I would just bring her bed right next to my desk. She would curl up in her bed right next to my desk. I can edit away, no interruption, pretty much no big deal until Lucy got home at 4 o'clock to take her out. Birdie's not like that. The first I was alone for the first 4 days of when we got her, and we set up a pen. Uh-huh. She had everything, a bed, food, toys. And she yelled bloody murder for the first 2 days. I got little to nothing done because I'm an audio producer. So I have to hear my work. So when there is a 7-week-old puppy screaming and barking at the top of their lungs, you get no work done. So, like, I think on the second and third day, Lucy came home both days, and I'm sitting on the couch, Birdie attached to a leash. And she's just bossing around, and I'm just sitting in the middle of the couch watching TV, because that was the only way that I could get a little bit of peace during the day. So the biggest routine buster is definitely a puppy. Let me tell you that when it comes to that. And we both looked at each other, and we had considered, we were like, oh, maybe we'll have kids. And we looked at each other after probably like week 2. And we were like, nope, we're good. we don't need the baby experience. The puppy is giving us exactly what we need at this point. And so, like, I hopped on today, and we can see video. Everyone else can't see video. They're just going to hear it through audio. But I'm looking at myself, and I'm like, man, my bags are really deep. Like, that's how much, like little sleep and sleep deprived we are. And we just didn't think about it. We didn't think that our summer would be dominated by this puppy, and that we would have to learn brand new routines and figure out how this is going to work. Like, we only have the summer, and then Lucy's got to go back to work. And I'm going to be left with Birdie by myself during the school year. So I got to figure out how we can get her settled into something of a routine so I can still get work done. Like, that's the most important part, is that I still have to be able to do my job and manage this puppy at this time. So it can be tough to set a routine, because we were used to just kind of flowing our own way. We didn't have a lot of routine because Freya just adjusted. This one does not adjust. She is very much like, has to be kept busy, we have to keep an eye on her on a regular basis. So it's like very different for us in very many ways. I often tell Lucy, I was like, Freya did not prepare us for this by any stretch of the imagination. She left this world highly unprepared for another boxer puppy. I love her to death, but I was mad that she left me so unprepared.
And parents are the most impacted by routine and lack of routine, right? Parents are the one who get the brunt of the lashback if there's no routine. That's what I hear about from parents and, you know, puppy parents, is eating on a routine is helpful. Napping on a routine is helpful for babies. You know, trying to figure out the sleep routine is a thing, right?
Yeah, puppies need nap time too. They can either be overstimulated or understimulated. And this one can either be understimulated or overstimulated. And then it's like, she's like a wild animal. Like, she wants to bite everything. She's like losing her mind, or she has to go outside and poop. So there's so many other things that you have to consider when you're dealing with a puppy, which is why I know now I understand why puppies are harder than babies. Right? Like, you could put a diaper on a baby. The baby just does a diaper. You change the diaper. Everything's good. Puppy, it is not. It depends on if they have to go outside or they just need to. They need a brain game to help them settle. And then we had to figure out the whole nap situation. It's absolutely wild how much of an adjustment she's had to be. I was talking to my sister last night. And I was talking to her about the madness of having a puppy. People don't think about it, because we thought, oh, we'll get a puppy, we'll be able to take her out, we'll be able to do all the things. But you can't. You have to quarantine your puppy until she's fully vaccinated. So that means that you can't put her down. You can't let her go play in like public dog places. So we've been trapped in this apartment, and we did not think about that this summer, that we were going to be trapped in this apartment for the extent of the summer. And I said this to my sister last night. I said, we were on TikTok, and like a couple of weeks before we got Birdie, and this woman is just crying. Oh. Like full on crying on TikTok, right? And then you could hear the puppy in the background screaming and yelling in the crate. And so she's on TikTok, right? Crying. And she goes, why didn't no one tell us about the puppy? And I'm so frustrated, and I'm so tired. And I laughed at this woman. Legitimately.
Because you thought she was just over-exaggerating.
Over-exaggerating, 100%. Like, I was like, I even sent it to Lucy. I said, Lucy, I was like, this woman is crying, and she's like, over a puppy? And I was like, yes. I was like, she's talking about puppy blues, and it's a thing, puppy blues. And I said, this woman is like visibly crying on TikTok, and I scoffed at her. And so I was telling my sister last night on the phone, I said, I am now 5 weeks in. Birdie's 12 weeks old. And now if I saw that woman in the street, I would hug her and tell her I was sorry. Because Lucy has cried, I have cried. And so puppy blues is very real. Like, I was like, I'm sorry that I laughed at that woman, because I understand what she's talking about now. Like, because we've had dogs before. So this was like, but we haven't had a 7-week-old puppy.
And puppies are an accelerated behavior training than babies, because babies grow slowly, but puppies are on an accelerated growth plan. So they're developing faster than humans do. And so like, she's can walk and run, she can jump, she can eat a couch. And all, so you've got to like anticipate faster than babies. You got a few months to cry while you're laying down while they're crying.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing about routine and what you talked about. And I hope you and Lucy are really journaling this journey that you've been on, because the routines that you had, they probably may not come back. And then you have new routines, right, that you're developing with Birdie that you didn't have with Freya. And I know sometimes with people at work, you know, they get depressed when their routines get changed, meaning that they get moved to a different boss, they get moved to a different department, they're doing different work. this notion of disruption to routines is real. It's real from a puppy perspective. It's real from being a parent. It's real from being promoted on your job. And Joy, you get to treat all of these symptoms. You know, yes, we see producer Mike, and I'm looking at his eyes, and his eyes do have a lot of, you know, darkness in it, but know that it's you know why it was causing it, right? You know what's causing the sleeplessness. You know it's the you know the training of the puppy, and what you bring up too, Mike, is the disruptive nature of it that can have some side effects that may not be so good for the body. Anxiety, depression, the blues, feeling off-kiltered, mm-hmm. you know, not feeling like you're making any accomplishments, or you're just spinning your wheels. So you talked about, Joy, the rhythm of the heart, right? The heart likes a normal rhythm. Imagine people who are disrupted in their routines and how it's having the effects on the body. And can you talk a little bit about that? Because as I was listening to Mike, I was going, man, sleep deprived, tired, you know, working and trying to edit and trying to do the job that you're doing. That's got to be tough and on the body, and the body's got to be feeling it.
Mm-hmm. You've got to have rhythm and flow for your nervous system to be able to calm enough so you can feel safe and float a little bit before the next disruption. So disruptive periods can last a while, like you're in a extended disruption period, yes. Or they can be real short, depending on what's going on, right? So when it's extended, you really have to be careful that your reserves don't get completely depleted, like your sleep reserves, your eating reserves, because we're so fragile as humans. Mm-hmm. You know, we can only go so many days without food and water and sleep. And when something like this happens, a disruption to our routine that becomes extended, we are brought to our knees. We are crying. We are losing it. Exhausted. We are mental health. It's really delicate, you know, when these things go out the window. So we are really fragile as humans. We are not as sturdy as we think we are. We think we're sturdy when we're sort of like go humming along, you know, and when we are in a period of boredom or not in a period of disruption, if there's too much routine, people start complaining about that too. And that period of time, it really makes you grateful for being bored and having a routine when you're in this period of disruption. I mean, I think about nature too. What happens in nature is there's cycles, there's seasons, and there's rhythms to the day. There is a sunrise, there is a sunset. There is a cooler season, there is a warmer season. There is a rainy season, there is a dry season. The world, you know, is designed to be in a rhythm of some sort. And then within that, there are disruptions. Some of those disruptions are healthy. And what the disruptions do is cause growth spurts. So when you think about a baby, you can tell when they're in a growth spurt, right? When they're really agitated, when they start screaming, or when they start losing sleep, when their patterns do get disrupted, then you go, what's wrong? Oh, wait, maybe they're in a growth spurt, right? That could be one of the possibilities. Same with nature, right? Which is a growth spurt of the teeth, right? And then if you think about nature, you know, there's this terrible curse called the cicadas, right? Everybody's scared of the cicadas. That is a massive disruption that happens once every 17 years in certain regions. And the disruption in and of itself feels like chaos when you're in it, especially if you're walking into a swarm of cicadas. It's terrifying, right? But the purpose of cicadas in their swarm, what they do is they feed the ecosystem, both other animals, but then when they drop to the, let's say it's in a forest, when they drop to the forest floor, there is a growth spurt that happens from their fertilized bodies that nourish the forest mm-hmm. floor. So they're basically a disruption on purpose. You know, every time there's a hurricane, every time there's a tornado, it wakes us up too. There is a growth spurt. You realize, oh, I need to be prepared in a certain way. Oh, I need to equip myself in a different way. So Mike, when you get through this period, when you and Lucy get through this period, you know, let's say, and you forecast a few months from now, you're going to probably say these things that people say after a growth spurt, which is like, I wouldn't have it any other way. I can help other people going through. I'm going to have my own TikTok channel about coaching people through puppy dying, whatever it may be. You know, you're going to grow.
A device or a product that's going to help other people with their puppies.
Right. The disruption cause. And even in the workplace, right. You know, like when you're creating behavior patterns for a new employee, just like a puppy, just like a baby, it is critical to have a routine. People ask for it. I remember working in operations at a nonprofit and new hires would be like, where's the structure? Where's the pen? Where's the door? Where's my structure? You know what I mean? I need the routine. I need the time. I need to know who I'm reporting to. I need to know what my rhythm is going to be before they want to break out of it, before they want to bust through the ceiling. They first need a routine to, you need to like cultivate a little like behavioral expectancy to reset the nervous system, let it know what's coming. So you can float a little bit. Then you need a growth spurt, float a little bit, growth spurt.
Yeah. You see that with implementations of technology changes, right? People have used the same tools and same systems. Right. And then the company says, oh, we're going to change. And that's when you really see people go wacko out of their routine. And we call it, oh, it's change disruption. But it also too is changing their routine, their passwords, how they have things saved, how they've structured, how to use that technology. And now that's completely out the door. I love how you brought nature into this. I loved how you brought the physicality into it. I love, Mike, you using your real-time, real-live experience right now with Birdie. But, you know, there's some beauty in changing up routine. There's a, you know, as I've been listening to Mike talk about it, you know, Freya was a laid back, chill dog, had you guys stay in your routine. And sometimes we have, you know, we think we don't have a routine, but we do have a routine, right? It could be, you know, on Fridays, we just go chill. We just watch TV. Everybody has routines. And Birdie has really changed your routine. But what have you and Lucy invited into your lives because of this routine change that you guys have just went through?
I mean, she's hella cute. Like, she's a really cute dog, but you know, but we've invited more energy to our lives. Like, Freya was a very low energy dog, and Birdie is very much high energy, which is what we were looking for. We wanted a dog that was a little bit more outgoing. Birdie is definitely that. She likes people. Freya was harder. Freya liked people, but she had to approve you in order to be liked in her world. Birdie loves everybody. We take her out on the porch. She wants to greet every one of our neighbors as they walk by, the whole deal. So we were looking for a higher energy dog, someone that could kind of roll with us when we go out. If we wanted to go to dinner, she would be one of those dogs that we could take with us to dinner, and it wouldn't feel like we were worried about her being scared. Freya was always scared of everybody. So there are some trade-offs to this deep, like as this happens, right? So like, we want to get to that point, but it does take some growing because we also realize that she's only been alive for 12 weeks. So like, this whole world is new to Birdie at this point. Freya cared less about the world in that sense. And Birdie wants to do and go and like meet everybody and see all the things and bite all the things and put her mouth on everything. And that's what we're kind of asking for, is we wanted a more outgoing dog. So the trade-off is that we're going to be sleep deprived for 16 weeks. We're training, you know, it's accidents in the house and crate training and the barking and the whining and all that stuff, all things Freya did not do by any stretch. So there's a trade-off, but I think eventually she's a very sweet dog And when she's not trying to nibble at you and nibble on your fingers and your phalanges, she is one of the, she's a sweet dog. I had a picture of her like sleeping on my chest. Like she's just up here like a goat sleeping on my chest, and she's sweet. Yeah. She's a very sweet dog. So there is a trade-off. Once you get yourself, you understand that you get used to the shock to the system. She was just like a bomb in the middle of our lives. Once you start to get used to that, then you start to develop, like you said, Joy, a new rhythm, a new routine, which is very welcoming for us. So, you know, it's there's good and there's bad. Hopefully there's more good upside. And then, of course, we'll look back on it and be like, man, that was hard. But, you know, we won't get this. She won't be this small again. She won't. There are a right. lot of firsts that she won't ever be again. So we're trying to enjoy it as well as make it through Thunderdome. But we're also trying to enjoy Thunderdome. So there's trade offs when when it comes to changing your routine. You were mentioning people at work. You know, change is hard. That's the one thing I know is change is hard. And changing a program at work throws a lot of people's workflows off.
Yes, it does.
So it's like, so then it becomes for this period of time, there's a bit of inefficiency. And then eventually, if everything works out the way it's supposed to, there's a little bit of this learning curve. And once you get past that learning curve, then your efficiency comes back because you understand now, this is the thing I have to do in order to get back to what I was doing, the efficiency of what I was doing before. So routine is important. I am not like always a stickler for routine. For certain things I am, but when that routine is disrupted, it can be tough to recover. And so, but it is a learning process. You learn how well you can adapt. I always say life is a series of adjustments, and it's about your ability to adjust to those adjustments. You know, mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, I'm like, man, like, they're like, I don't understand. I'm like, life is a series of adjustments, and it's about how well you adjust to those adjustments, because life is always going to change. The question is how can you adapt and continue to move forward and continue to be productive? And some things you just kind of have to fight through and suffer through. Raising a puppy is probably one of those things.
You know, I love what you're saying.
Right. And that translates to longevity too. You know, adapting as you age, you've got to learn how to fall. You've got to learn how to maneuver your body as you age. You've got to learn how to adapt to an aging body. You've got to learn to adapt to technology as you're aging. There's a lot of adaptation that has to do in the body and as an aging person too.
And why did you throw that in there? I was thinking about that this morning because one adaptation that I am doing is stretching. Mm-hmm. It's stretching in the morning.
See,
I have a stretch routine that I can do in the bed with. And then when I make it to the bathroom, then I got the towel to do more stretching with. And I keep my weights near me. Nice. So you're absolutely right, Mike. I love your perspective and what you just shared. And I do hope it helps our listeners, particularly in the workplace, because work is changing. Things are being put on people in the workplace. And you're right, it is a series of adjustments, but never give up your personal power, right? Never give up, you know, what is that change? You know, everybody teaches change management, and there's a lot of, you know, courses on change management. But it's managing the change to accept, you know, the new technology or the new processes. What I love what I heard you say, Mike, is really around that personalness, right? Personalizing it, acknowledging, guess what? I am going to be inefficient right now because I got to learn this new tool. I got to learn this new technology, and I got to learn it fast. To your point, Joy, we were talking about the speed at which things are being asked of you and expected of you, that I got to do it in a mm-hmm. pace that the company wants me to do it as. So what adjustments do I need to make? Right. What are those things that I need to make? Boy, we can have a part two on this conversation. Thank you for bringing Mike, your perspective on puppies and that. Just there's so much learning right there. I think if people listen to that piece, mm-hmm. that you have given people solace, people having a little grace on themselves and not being so hard, that they are in a tough spot. And it is tough. But guess what? You're adjusting and working your way through it. And Joy, I thank you for the perspective that you brought about nature, because I did step out of my routine. My husband and I, we celebrated our 25th anniversary 2 weekends ahead of it this weekend. And we went to Catalina. And this was literally, we planned it like really quickly. And as I was there in Catalina, on Catalina Island, I was watching the nature, the rhythm of nature in that island. Even though it was littered with people, the waves kept going, right? The fish kept swimming, right? The mountains kept looking beautiful and majestic, right? So I want us to leave our listeners. I hope you all have gotten some things in this conversation that you can apply to yourself. But I would love for Mike and Joy to leave us with, two nuggets, if you will, for our listeners.
Yeah, I'll say anchor yourself with a couple points in the day that do give you routine, because there is a lot of natural disruption in the world today. That the disruption part's easy to find, in politics, in the workplace, in technology around us. We have to adapt a lot. And so routine is getting more and more the anomaly. And so I would say pick a couple things, pick a couple anchor points in your day, at a timed interval. So let's say a water break, a walk break, a food schedule for yourself that you can create a little routine for yourself if you don't already have one.
Love that, Joy. Mike?
For me, what's really helped me is just understanding that change is inevitable. And I do my best to prepare myself for changes as much as possible. And I mean, the bottom line is try to stay as flexible as possible. I know that's harder for some than others. But my success lies in the ability to be adaptive and be flexible, especially in long term when things are coming at you. And, my wife, she doesn't always like change. Change can be tough. She was raised by a woman who also has an affinity to change, like doesn't like change. And so I'd like to think that I bring a little bit of more of a flexibility to the situation and a little even calmness. So if you can keep your emotions and be flexible, you can probably take on any change that comes at you. So just be flexible. Like try to be as flexible as possible.
Really good suggestions. What another great episode. Thank you, producer Mike, for jumping in with Joy and I. If you want to listen again, visit the homeworkpod.com website where you can find this show and others. And please like and share the show. Joy and I, we want to give this away. We want as many people to be impacted and transformed and helped. And we can't wait to bring you another exciting show. So this is Charlene with the Homework Podcast with my co-host Joy and producer Mike saying, listen, download, share this episode because it's going to help you and others as well. Until we talk to you on our next episode that was coming up soon.
Thanks, y'all.